want to read two scriptures. First is in Hebrews chapter 11, and if we could start at verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that draws near to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who seek him out. And then verse 23. By faith Moses, being born, was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw the child beautiful, and they did not fear the injunction of the king. By faith Moses, when he had become great, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction along with the people of God than to have the temporary pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of the Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he persevered as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he celebrated the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. And in the Gospel, according to Luke, chapter 23, verse 39. Now one of the malefactors who had been hanged spoke insultingly to him, saying, Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou too not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment, and we indeed justly? For we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss. He said to Jesus, Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I commenced reading in Hebrews with this verse at the beginning, verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him. I suppose everyone sitting here desires to be pleasing to God. The reason that you're found here this evening is that it's your desire to be pleasing to God. But this is a matter of faith. We may feel that we can please God by doing good, by obeying the commandments, by honouring our father and mother. All these things that we're enjoined in Scripture to do. But here, it's very clear that it's without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I desire that our faith may be strengthened as a result of this gospel preaching. Because God himself desires to draw near to every seeker after the Lord Jesus. He would come into the very circumstances in which you find yourself. And it doesn't matter what they are. You may feel that you're in straitened conditions through whatever events may have taken place in your life. Or you may feel that you're in a position of ease, where you don't really feel that you have many needs because you've managed to meet them all yourself. Whatever the situation that you are in, God would desire to draw near to you and to speak to you in his own personal way. Because whether you're in straitened conditions or whether you're in conditions of ease, God would have something to say. He may speak to you a word of blessing, a word of encouragement. He may have to speak to you in words of rebuke. But nonetheless, however he speaks in love. And we were reminded, weren't we, in our reading this afternoon, that God is love. There can be no question as to the person of God, the creator of the universe, the faithful creator, the one who loves you. And we're reminded of his faithfulness. We've experienced, haven't we, a couple of months of pretty severe weather. But then God in his faithfulness, yesterday and today, has reminded us that he is the creator. He is the one that brings in the sunshine and the warmth. He is the one that causes causes growth to spring forth. And he is the one that would cause you to respond to him through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses is a remarkable man. I've never thought of speaking of Moses in relation to the gospel, but it came to me that Moses was someone who is a very interesting person. Born of parents, hidden by them, as it says here, for 3 months, and then taken up by the daughter of Pharaoh and brought up as her own. Given every blessing, you might say, from an earthly point of view, brought up in the court of Pharaoh, enjoying every privilege that a prince of Egypt would enjoy. And yet, as it says here, when he had become great, when he'd grown up, I suppose that would mean, when he'd become a man, when he was able to choose and to refuse, he indeed, as it says here, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter. I suppose his contemporaries would have frowned, would have wondered, why on earth would he give up such a place of privilege, a life of ease, you might say. And yet, I suppose you might say, he had some idea as to where he'd come from. His parents, as it says here, did not fear the injunction of the king. And I suppose something of the faith of his parents must have set itself firmly in his heart. He would have known as to the affliction that his people, the children of Israel, were experiencing, the hardship because they were as slaves, many of them, building bricks to no doubt build the pyramids that we see some of today. But it says that he refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction along with the people of God. When the gospel is presented, it does require choosing. It doesn't just come and it may or may not rest upon you in some ethereal way. But when the gospel comes to you, it means to say that you have a decision to make. And Moses here says, when you become great, when, you might say, everything lay at his feet and he could choose what he was to become, it says that he refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was not going to be beholden to Egypt. He refused that line that speaks of pleasure. He refused to live that life of wealth and ease. He realized that it was incompatible with the calling that he had been called with. How wonderful it is that such a man, being brought up in the court of Pharaoh, realized that there was something far greater than the riches of Egypt. I suppose he had some understanding as to the greatness of God's ordering, God's plans. He saw the difficulties with which the children of Israel had to contend. And I noticed further on where we read, he says, not fearing the wrath of the king. As his parents did not fear the injunction of the king, so he was not going to fear the wrath of the king. He was offered all that would naturally appeal to man. But you know, he chose something very, very different. He chose that path of affliction. He left the comfort of the court of Egypt and he led the people of God out into the wilderness. There was nothing there for the flesh to enjoy, in the wilderness. There was nothing that would appeal to the senses of man, and yet it says that that is what Moses chose. The affliction of being found among the people of God, in contrast to the riches and the treasure of Egypt. That's why I think he was a remarkable man, because he had something in his heart that told him that what he saw in Egypt was temporary. What we see around us today is temporary. God is going to wrap everything that we see in this world up. It's not going to last as men think, as man might think. It's not going to last forever. God is a God of law and a God of order. He's a God of love, as I said at the beginning. But, you know, he desires that man may come to him and through the work of the Lord Jesus know what it is to enjoy salvation. That's the only place where we can find salvation is at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Mary, you know, she sat at the feet of the Lord. She realized that there was something there that offered safety, something there that offered peace and enjoyment. You would think, wouldn't you, that what the court of Pharaoh could have offered enjoyment. It did, but it was only fleeting. It didn't last. And Moses, because of who he was, he was an educated man, he was erudite, and he understood that what he saw around him was only going to be for a time. And he realized that the reproach of the Christ was greater than all the riches of Egypt. How wonderful it is if our hearts could understand the importance and the significance of that. All that Christ has achieved, if I can say so reverently, by that path that he took, he went down. He came from the highest heights of glory, but he went down. He came down to earth, but he went further than that. He went down into the grave itself. All that appeals to man in terms of pomp and splendor, Moses turned his back upon all of that. It says he had respect to the recompense. He realized that there was something far greater, and he wanted to enjoy and benefit from it. And he wanted not just for himself, but for the people that he was to shepherd through those 40 years of trial and affliction. It says, by faith he celebrated the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. So again, Moses knew what death was. He'd experienced it. He'd seen what it had done to the house of Pharaoh. He'd seen to it that those with whom he was protecting had sprinkled the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. How wonderful it is, therefore, that we come into the presence of the Lord. We have this hope brought before us in a living way by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has removed every vestige of sin from us. That's why I read as to the man in the malefactor, I should say, in Luke's Gospel. Another man who was in the express enjoyment of real faith. He hadn't had a long history. You might say his history was that of a recently converted believer, and a few minutes or an hour at most at that. He was able to rebuke the one as not fearing God, even though he'd come under the same judgment as himself. He was able to see the Lord Jesus as one who had done nothing amiss, perfect in every way. the delight of his God and Father. And this man, this malefactor, was able to take account of it, even though he was hanging on a cross at the side of Christ. He might stand unable even to see his face, and yet he'd taken account of all that had been done to him, the mocking and the scourging and the buffeting. Maybe he received some of it himself, but he realized that all that Christ had received, he was innocent of. All that violence that was meted out to the Lord Jesus, he did not deserve one iota of it. And it came home to him that the Lord Jesus himself could only be, he says, "Remember me, Lord." He didn't say to him, "Jesus." He realized that he was far, far greater than he was. "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." He realized that the Lord Jesus, as hanging there upon the cross, represented something far, far greater than the power of Rome. Far greater than anything that he had experienced in his lifetime, however long or short it might have been. And that this man, the Lord Jesus, was going to come into his kingdom. He didn't know precisely when, but he was immediately reassured by the words of Jesus himself, "Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." His faith immediately answered. You don't necessarily find that faith is immediately answered, but this man was in extremity. He wasn't going to live a great deal longer. And the Lord Jesus, in his love to him, was able to immediately reassure him. How wonderful it is, you know, the gospel has that effect. It's meant to have that effect of reassuring the believer. However young or however old you might be, each one of us needs the reassurance of faith, reassurance of love, reassurance that everything that the Lord Jesus has done is for time and for eternity. Nothing can be plucked out of the Lord's hand. If you put your faith and your trust in him, nothing is going to alter that. No matter what Satan may attempt to do by way of destabilizing that faith that has been given to you. That faith is of God, and it's precious. Peter speaks of like precious faith. Peter had faith. He addressed other believers as though they had the same faith as he. And I think if we just quietly consider what this malefactor came into, the blessing of faith, the blessing of knowing who the Lord Jesus was, Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This malefactor would have died peacefully and happily, I may even say joyously, but he certainly was one who realized where he was going. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Well, I trust we may each be encouraged by this, and that we may just look into our own hearts to see how active our faith is, to see whether we really are trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. May he bless the work.
Amen. Amen.